four glasses on the table. So we all sit in our chairs and we're just kind of wondering what this table was for and why it was in front of us. And then they brought another table and then they put these baskets, like the French fry baskets that we get, sets them on, and we're just like, what is this, you know? And then all of a sudden, a lady comes and she pours Skittles into each basket, and then on the cups they put, it was like some sort of nut, like maybe a cashew or a peanut or something, and fills it up. And we're like, what's this? Is this how they take communion? Like, what's going on, right? But it was their act of love. We were visitors in their house, and that was them showing love. And yes, when you picked up the Skittle, it like melted in your hand because it was so hot. But it was just that act of love. They were showing love. They didn't speak a word to us. They didn't say anything to us, but it was that gesture of love that they showed us by providing that, by putting those nuts and those Skittles, something so simple. But I'm glad they did, because we were there for 3 hours. And listen, I like food. I like candy. But man, there was just so much love. And then, so we finished that, and it was amazing. Just an awesome church service. It was Mother's Day, too, so that was why it took so long. They were honoring the women and everything like that. So we enjoyed that. But then we went to the shelter, for the hospital shelter. And there, again, just so much brokenness, just sadness and hopelessness, right? They're there. They don't know when they're going to go home. They're just there hanging on, going to the hospital, coming back. You know, they're not in their own home. They're just there, right? And so when we walked in, you could just sense that, you know, they weren't happy. There wasn't a joy in that place. You know, and we just decided, hey, we're going to make this fun. We busted out some games and some activities. We had these guys running around doing all these crazy things, playing soccer, playing ball. The little kids had drawing sheets and necklaces that they could make and all this fun stuff. And it completely changed the room. It completely changed the atmosphere. They were smiling. They were happy, right? And then we were able to have them sit down and hear a message about God and about, you know, the power that's in his name, and that even though they're going through something so tough and so difficult, that there's power in God, right? And that he can get us through anything. And so it was just amazing to see just the shift and the change in the atmosphere that happened. And you know, it was just simple acts. It's all it comes down to. It wasn't anything extravagant that we did. It was just simple. Simple love that we showed. We gave them candy. We gave them food. We gave them juice. It was simple things just to show the love. So language doesn't mean anything. Love speaks to all. So that was the first word. Surrender was the second word. So I'm standing there and I'm watching them worship. And they all come to the front and they're singing, they're dancing, but then they get down on their knees and they bow down and they give this surrender to God. And in that moment, I felt God speak to me and he asked me a question. When was the last time you got on your knees for me? I thought about it and really I couldn't come up with an answer. And I was like, wow, this is bad. That I can't come up with a time that I got on my knees and I worshiped God. And listen, I'm not saying that that's what we have to do every time. I'm not saying that's what we need to do on a Sunday morning. But there is a power in doing that and getting down on our knees, putting him in his rightful place, making him the person at the top, and showing our complete surrender. Because when we say that we accept Jesus into our lives and that he's the leader of our life, we are surrendering our life to him. But how do we do that when we're not actually surrendering it and giving it over? So man, that was a hard thing for me to hear, but it was something that I needed to hear. And I'm going to ask you this, I want accountability in it. I want accountability in it because I don't want to live a life that isn't pleasing to him. And I need your help, just like I need to help each and every one of you to get to that place of complete surrender. Because until we get to that place, we're missing out on things that God has for us. We truly are. We're missing out on it. He has a life that has so much meaning and purpose for each one of us. But if we're not willing to surrender it, we're not going to see it. And I want to see that for myself, but I want to see it for you. So I'm asking you for accountability. Today was the first day that I got down on my knees that I felt that I needed to do that. If you see me go longer than a few weeks without doing that, tell me. And I mean that. I mean it. I want to help you too. I want to help you guys get to that place as well. Because that's what we're here for. We're a church. We're a family. This is what we're called to do. We need to surrender. And then the third one was release, to let go. And again, in that moment that he spoke that word to me in worship, I had to think back to the night before, Saturday night, the first night that we're in country. I'm in the top bunk. It's like 100 degrees in the room. The fan that was in the room was on the floor, so I didn't get a lick of any of that wind. And I was having a hard time falling asleep. I was sweating. It was just terrible. And I just couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't get comfortable. And what I realized is I was sleeping like this. I had my shoulders in a shrugged position. My neck was turned. And I was creating a tension in my body for no reason. Like, I was literally trying to sleep like this, and I couldn't fall asleep, and I'm wondering why. It's because I was creating my own tension. I pushed my shoulders down, I straightened my neck, and I laid down, and I fell asleep. And I slept perfectly fine. Yes, it wasn't the correct amount of hours, but when I woke up in the morning, I felt rested because I released. I let go of the tension. We walk into this place on a Sunday morning to worship God, and we're like this. We're so tight. We have so much tension. We put our hands like this, but we're still creating that tension. We're trying to do it, but we're not actually releasing. Let go. Shake it out. Push it down. Release it. Allow your body to fully worship and to experience that. Because when you do this, when you put your hand in the air, there's no tension. I don't feel it. Maybe after 5 minutes, but I don't feel it. It's freedom, right? But when I'm sitting here, my arm starts to get tired because I'm creating this tension that doesn't need to be here. Raise your hand. Put it up. Praise your God, right? So I submit that to you just as something to help, to take you to the next level. But ultimately, the question remained was, are we worshiping right? Am I doing it right? The way that I come in on a Sunday morning, is it the way that we're supposed to be? Because, you know, worship is to show our reverence and our adoration for God. So if I want to show that to someone, like if my wife walks into the house and she walks past me and I just have this blank stare on my face looking at her, is she going to feel like there's reverence or that there's adoration? Or when she comes through the door, should I just run to the door and give her a hug, say hi, how's your day, and show that adoration, show that reverence that I have for her? Or should I just sit back like, because listen, I'm not going to call you out by name, but there's some of you during worship that you're sitting like, listen, I speak that in love. I'm not like really calling you out, but I just want it to come across that like we're here to worship God. We're thankful for what he's done for us. This is our time that we can do it, right? It's our time. And you might say, well, hey, I'm not the one that dances and jumps and stuff like that. Well, neither am I, right? I'm not either. And I'm also not the one that when I'm late for work or I'm trying to get somewhere, I'm not the one that wants to stop at a stop sign or a stoplight. I want to just go through it because I'm late, right? But I can't. Why? Because it's written somewhere that I'm not allowed to do that. It's against the law, right? Now, it's not a law that we have to worship a specific way, but we do see in the book of the Bible that we model our life around. We do see what it means to worship and how we're supposed to. So let's take a look at Psalm 95, verse 1 through 6. It says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. That's worship. Coming with those songs, coming with those loud shouts, right? Singing with joy. Singing that we're happy when we come in, and yes, there's things of life that are happening, and we all have it, and I have it, and everything like that. But when we allow that to control our worship, man, it's robbing us. We have to come in with joy, singing with joy, regardless of what's happening around us. No matter what it is, just release it, let it go, and let's worship. And then let's take a look at Psalm 100. Verse 1 through 2. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Again, being joyful in front of our Creator. A God that created everything. A God that everything has to answer to him. He created it all. We should be coming with joyful songs to him, right? Knowing what he can do for us. Knowing what he wants for our life. How good he is, how faithful he is. All of these things that we know for God, we should be showing that in our worship. Amen? Amen. So that was day one. Man. Woo! All right, day two, Monday. We were at the red light district, as Tom talked about. We were at a men's shelter, and then we also did some street ministry in Los de Sol. Yeah, you know I can't speak Spanish, but whatever. But man, that morning was hard. I think we were on the street by 7:30 in the morning in the red light districts. Very, very dark place. Filthy. Just a lot of evil in that place. Just bad situation. A lot of drugs and alcohol. And we met people that were stuck in addiction. But they wanted out. They made it known that they want out. They just don't know how. They don't know how to do it. They verbalized it, but just didn't know the proper steps to change their life. And three people that I met that I just want to share a little bit about, first being Oscar. Aaron and I actually got to pray with Oscar, and he came up and, you know, he obviously was intoxicated, and we were trying to show love, and we asked, you know, how can we pray for you? And he hesitated, he got a little teary-eyed, and he said, I'd like you to pray for my daughter. And we said, okay. Like, what specifically would you like us to pray for? Like, what is she going through? What is she dealing with? And he said that he doesn't have a relationship with her. Because of him being a drunk and the lifestyle that he lives, he chooses not to have a relationship with her because he doesn't want her to see him in that way or to even fall into that same lifestyle. And his daughter's name was Mia. And so we prayed for him, and we prayed for Mia, just, you know, that there would be restoration there. And Mia's 11 years old, and there's no relationship there. So Aaron and I took the time to really minister to him and say, hey, listen, there's time for you to be restored with God. There's that relationship can be restored, and so can your relationship with Mia. And we encouraged him to leave that place and to contact Mia, and to get to that place where they could, you know, restore that relationship. And we prayed for him for that, and that she would receive that as well, because we all know that she, as young as she is, needs her father in her life. And so we prayed that over him, and we're believing that he left that place, that he's free from that addiction, and that he's going to restore that relationship with his daughter. The next one, Manny. This was an awesome miracle that I've never witnessed before. So what we were doing in the street, we had a group in the hotel brothel type thing. There was a group in the, I hate the word, but crack house. That's where they were. And then I was in the street, and there was a truck there, and we were serving food. And we were serving food, and they're just coming up in line. And so Manny comes up. And, you know, we had a translator there, and I asked him, hey, can you ask him his name, you know, and what he needs prayer for? And his name was Manny, and he just wanted prayer. And I said, okay, I'll pray with him. And I noticed that in his right hand, he had a bottle, like a small bottle of alcohol. And it was, he had been drinking out of it, you know, and it was in his hand. And so I could tell that obviously, you know, he was intoxicated and things like that, and that he was going through some stuff. So I prayed in English, not with the translation, because again, God doesn't care what language you speak. He hears all prayers, right? So I just prayed in English. Manny had no idea probably what I was saying, but I just prayed. And, you know, I'm standing in front of him. I have my hand on his shoulder, and I'm just saying, God, remove this addiction from him, Lord God. Lord, take this from him. And I specifically said, Lord, take this bottle out of his hand. And I finished praying, and I said, in the name of Jesus, amen. I opened my eyes because my head was down. His right hand was right in front of me, and there was no bottle. I looked, and like, you know, you can see imprints in people's pants. I'm looking at his pants, and I can't see anything. There's nothing there. So he's in line, so I step aside. I let him go. I'm looking at his back pocket. I'm looking on the ground because when they have trash, they just throw it wherever. They don't care where it goes. They just let it drop. And I'm looking, and there's nothing. I can't see it. So I just step back, and I literally said, wow, God. Because, like, I've prayed for healing before. I've prayed for chains to be broken and be removed from people's lives. But I've never asked for a physical object to be removed, but he did it. So I stood there, and I was just like, wow. So I went over to Marco after, and I said, Marco, that bottle of alcohol that it was in his hand, and Marco, man, he grew up knowing English. Like, he went to English-speaking school. So he was really good with English. He's a smart guy, knew a lot about the U.S. and things like that. And immediately he goes, yeah, that is like your equivalent of, like, moonshine. And I was like, whoa, no, not what I want to know. Where did it go? Where did that bottle go? And he was like, I don't know. I was like, well, what did he do with it? And he's like, I don't know. He's like, it's not in his hand. And I was like, I know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Where did it go? God removed it. This is the only explanation. It wasn't on the ground. It wasn't in any of his pockets. I looked. But man, when we ask for things, God wants to provide. So that was Manny's story. Then the last one was Darwin. It's not as miraculous, but it's still just as important. Darwin had been, you know, in talking with him, he could speak a little bit of English, but I still needed an interpreter. But he's been to the United States a few times. He's been to Maryland, West Virginia. He would go on, like, these fishing trips and things like that. He loved to fish. And he kept just coming back to, I love the U.S. I love the U.S. He kept just repeating it. After everything he would tell me about himself, he would say, I love the U.S. But then right before we were to part ways, he said, never forget Honduras. And, you know, immediately I said, never will I forget that, right? I'm here. I'm loving it. We're having a great time. I'll never forget Honduras. But I have to be honest, in the moment, it didn't really mean a whole lot what he said. But as I reflect on it, it means a lot more to me. Because this trip was inspirational, not only for myself, but and also for the people of Honduras. But I think it should be inspirational for us as a church as well. Because on the bigger scale, I believe God was trying to speak something through Darwin to us as the church. And yes, I'll never forget Honduras because of the things that happened. I'll probably even go back, right? So I'll never forget them. But listen, this place that we were in, it was not a place that I would choose to ever go. Like, it was that dirty and that filthy and that disgusting that in the flesh, I would never choose to go there. That's not something that I would want to do. But man, we had to operate in the Spirit. We had to be in the Spirit. And the Spirit led us to that place, and it led me to these people, and it led to a miraculous removal of a bottle, right? It led to these amazing conversations. And the Spirit was just what we had to operate in order to get past all of that stuff so that we could experience these people that had a need that needed to be met. And we were people that could meet that need. it was just so amazing that, you know, us going there, coming from so far away, that we would go into these places that we would never imagine to ever be, but God was working, God was moving. So we got to get out of the flesh and be in the Spirit, allowing ourselves to get to those places where we would never go to help that person that has a clear need, and we have the answer. Amen? Amen. Day two is, that's a wrap for that one. Day three, Tuesday, we went to a prison, and then we were in another village, and the morning and the afternoon couldn't be more different in just the way that they looked. And in the morning, we were in this prison, and it was just awesome. There was probably over 200 men, I think. I'm not sure exactly how many men were in this prison, but we got to share with them. Pastor Tom said, "Hey, we're going to have the opportunity to preach in a jail." And I said, "Hey, sign me up. Sign me up." I felt that God had given me a message for that, and I wanted to be a part of it. I said, "I'm there. Put me in." You know, and so I prepared. I had a bunch of notes. I had all kind of scripture, all this stuff. I was ready to go, feeling good about it. And then the day before, you know, because you're on a mission trip, Pastor Tom comes and says, you can't take anything into the prison. I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "No notes. All you can take is a Bible. We got to wear all this stuff, you know." I'm like, okay. So I only could take a Bible. You couldn't even hide papers. Like, you know, like in when you cheated on your test in grade school, you like fold the paper. I couldn't even do that, right? I had to just go with my Bible and like dump it out and all that stuff. Well, we didn't actually do that, but that's what it felt like they were going to make us do. Man, I had to rely on the Holy Spirit completely. He gave me a message and he gave me a download, and I just had to run with it and not rely on notes, not rely on the things that were written down, but rely on the Holy Spirit. And I was, you know, if Pastor Ben is the first line of the guys, I was probably right here most of the time. And at one point, I had to like kind of check myself and be like, "Dude, you know these guys are criminals, right?" And so I had to kind of take a step back because I felt like I was getting a little close. But what I felt God speak to me in that time was that I needed to look each and every man in their eyes and tell them, "Listen, God loves you. He cares about you. Things can change." That's what I felt he wanted me to share, not what I had on my notes, but to be able to speak literally into each and every person, to look them in the eye and tell them that this is not your destiny. This is not where you have to remain, right? So, man, God does amazing things. And there just was so much brokenness and just hurt in that place. But prayerfully, you know, we did see a lot of people come forward and they accepted Christ. There was a lot of salvations in that moment. We got to pray for a lot of guys. We did get to give them care packages. Like the government doesn't provide toilet paper and all that stuff for them. They have to rely on their parents or family members to send it to them. And not everyone gets it. So we were able to provide that for people. We were able to give those care packages. Man, just awesome things happened. And then in the afternoon, like I said, completely different. We were at a school doing a kids club. So we had all these games and activities that we're doing. And just the happiness in the kids' hearts, you know, and just the way that they, you know, want to come out and have a good time. And just how patient and like grateful they are. Like, you know, I had a pump with balloons, and not like helium, like we're all, it was just like a regular balloon, right? And I'm handing them to them and they're loving it, but there's like 15 of them and they're all like standing there, and I'm like, you know, anxious because I'm like, I can't pump this fast. My hands hurt from tying these knots, right? But they're so patient. Not one of them reached out. Not one of them pushed the one to the side to get in front. They waited patiently because they were just that thankful for what they were about to receive. And it, like I said, it wasn't anything. It was just a pumped up balloon, right? But they were just so grateful for it. But even though the two parts of the day were completely different, God was moving in both scenarios. Whether it's the joy, fun, you know, kids, you know, having all that good time, or whether it's the dark prison, right? God's moving in all scenarios. Day four, this was split up a little bit. We were in the prison, like the men were in one of the other prisons, the women went to a hospital, and God again moved in a mighty way in the prison. Again, this was something that like God orchestrated from the beginning. Like he knew that this was going to happen. He knew that he was going to have us go, our team go. He knew that. He knew that we were going to be in that prison. So I just felt like when we got there that we had to share, like, listen, we hopped on a plane to see you, because that's the truth. Like, yes, we said we were going to Honduras. We didn't know everything that was going to happen, but God did. He knew that we were going to be there. So he knew that we were going there for them. So just sharing that with them, that that's how much we care for you, that we traveled all this way to be here this morning, to be here with you. But if that sounds like it, that means we care a lot about you, God cares even more than that. God cares even more than we do, because he's that loving Father that just loves you beyond anything, right? So man, it's just awesome ministry that happened. I know there was great things that happened in the hospital. Aaron actually prophesied to the pastor of that prison, saying that he was going to have creative ways to reach prisoners, and there was just going to be just an impact through these creative ways that he was going to bring people into the ministry. So just was an awesome time there. Again, Kids Club was amazing in the town that we were in, and then we had a church service that evening, and before, you know, the team just got together, we had a little downtime, and we just got into this, like, impromptu worship, and man, it was so powerful. Just like the team, you know, we're halfway in the trip, you know, temperatures are hot, we're getting a little tired. It was just an awesome, impactful, like, worship time. It was right before Tom went to preach, and man, did he preach on that. What was that, like a Wednesday night? He preached a great word. And, you know, when we spoke, we kind of had to speak, like, we had to speak in a sentence and then allow the translator, right? You know, so that they could do it. Tom didn't stop the whole time. He just went. The translator literally sat up, like, onto Tom almost, closed his eyes, and just had to roll with it. And it was a great, powerful message. I think the translator did an awesome job, but Tom had a powerful word. And what I take from Tom's powerful word is that he said that storms come, but God. You know, he was talking about Jesus and the disciples on the boat and talking about the storm, but God, right? We all have storms. We all have things that are happening, but God. That's what we rely on. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We don't have to rely on other people. We rely on God. That when we're going through those storms, God's going to show up. Amen? Amen? Amen. So that was day four. Day five, you know, the main thing that we got to do was to go into the hospitals, and that was really tough. I got to go in, Aaron and I both got to go in the pediatric ward, and that was difficult. You know, seeing those kids in there hooked up, you know, to all this different stuff, and they're little, young, you know, and realizing that what they were going through in our country is probably not very significant, because we have the healthcare, but knowing for them that it could literally be life or death for them, that was hard, and to see them there, but it was an awesome time to get to pray with their families and over them, and to give them some food, and again, just try to bring encouragement and joy. But so we left the hospital, and we were supposed to go to Picacho. Now, Picacho, this day technically was like almost like our fun day. Picacho, as you can see, it's like a Jesus statue on top of a very high mountain, and it looks over the city. And we were all excited about it. I was really excited about it. I thought, man, that's probably super cool to be up there. Well, I'm blaming this one on Tom. In his message the night prior, Honduras right now is currently in their warm season, and they're experiencing a crazy drought. And honestly, a lot of the countryside that we would drive by was burnt because of wildfire. Pretty drastic, really. Like when you think about it and you hear about the thing, you're like, oh, okay, it's like maybe someone's yard or something. Like, no, this was like miles of like mountainside scorched. And so Tom prophesied that the rain was going to come. And it came. We were in a coffee shop after the hospital, and it just poured for, I don't know, maybe like 15, 20 minutes, something like that. And it just poured. It poured. Not nearly the amount of water that they truly do need. But it canceled our Picacho trip because the roads would be muddy and they wouldn't be accessible and things like that. So man, I was a little upset because I was looking forward to it. It had been a long week. I was looking for something relaxing, you know, to get to do it. But we got to go to the mall, and there's a hamburger story at Burger King that I'll share with you later. And we got to do all that, but it was good because we were with the team, and we got to build relationship with the team. And two things that God spoke to me in that was that the schedule can change. You don't always need to be on the go. Take time for yourself and to connect to others. Because, man, that's what the schedule said. We were going to Picacho. That's where we were supposed to be. But the plan changed. Something else happened. I didn't need to be there. I needed to be with the team. Needed to hang out with them, to encourage them, to have fun with them. And the same thing for them to pour into me, just with that time to hang out. It might not have happened if we were at Picacho, so it was meant. But I speak this to you as well, that the schedule can change. You don't always need to be on the go. Take the time for yourself and to connect with others. You know, when there's someone in front of us, let's connect. But then the more important one, I think, was our wants are not more important than people's needs. That was what I wanted to do. I really wanted to go there, but there were other needs that needed to be met. There were people that needed prayed over. There were people that needed life spoken into them. There were other needs that needed to happen way before me going to see this statue on a hill. So again, I just remind you that the things that we want in life aren't more important than other people's needs. We need to put those to the side and put people's needs in front of our wants, right? So just want to share that with you. Friday, day 6, we're almost there. We're almost finished. We were in a town, and it was Tolonga was the name of it, and it was literally the best way that you could end a trip. We did door-to-door ministry, and that was really fun, just to be in the community and spend time in there praying with people. I know personally I saw one lady's shoulder get healed. I think there were a few other healings like with the other teams that went around. But just to spend the time in the community was really awesome. And then we were ending the night with a campfire. So we would have a campfire. There'd be a word. There'd be some testimony shared and everything like that. And it was just an awesome time, and it was supposed to be right down the street, but it actually felt like we were in another country for how long it took us to get there. But it was just perfect. We were on this like farm, like a person's property on a farm, and just all these people flooded this property. And again, we shared testimonies. We shared a message. We had fun. Like we handed out marshmallows for the kids to roast on the fire and for the adults and everything. And there was worship. And it literally was just the best way to possibly end a mission trip. It was just fantastic, just to be able to minister to people and build them up. So hey, that was day 1 through 6, and then day 7 we rested, just like God rested on day 7. But too bad it was in an airport for 12 hours. We had a little trouble getting home, but hey, it's water under the bridge now. You know, I was smiling like this, but deep down inside I was jacked. But hey, in conclusion, I want to bring this to a close. And, you know, there's obviously so much more that we could share and that each team member could come up. But this trip was like so timely and so purposeful for myself, but I think for other team member as well. It just, I think it was the right timing. It was God. It had to be, right? And it was clear that there was an impact in Honduras. But here's the reality. Tom, Aaron, myself, we were on mission. We were on mission in Honduras. But just because we came back doesn't mean that we're not on mission. We're on mission all the time. That's what our calling is. That's what God's told us to do, is to be on mission. That we don't need all these different events and different things and these trips and all that. We just need to be the people in the place showing that care and that compassion and that love that God has for us daily. We're showing it to other people. And, you know, as I was preparing to preach in the prison, you know, John 14, you know, talking about like bringing them to Christ, about Jesus saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and all that stuff. You know, I wanted to share that with the prisoners, but like as I was preparing it, I was reading down further, and I got to verse 12 and 14, and I was like, wow, that's not for them, but that's for us. And so I just want to share that with you, and it just says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So Jesus, in context, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, letting them know where he was about to go. But he was also telling them, like, hey, you have something to do. That because you believe in me, that you're going to do the things that I've been doing. All the miracles, all the ministry that he was doing, they were the next up. They were called to do that. That they had to carry it on. And not that just that they were going to carry it on, that they were going to do greater things than Jesus did. How is that possible? To them, they had to be like, what? Like, no, you're the greatest. You did all this stuff. But when they call on the name of Jesus and they do these greater works in the name of Jesus, we do greater things than even Jesus does. And yes, that was passed on to the disciples at that moment in time, in that point. But listen, they were called to carry it on and to pass it down to other people. Here we are today. Here we are this morning. This scripture is coming to us. This scripture is here in this place right now. That we are to do greater works than Jesus did. That we are to fulfill this scripture, to do the greater things, the miracles, the signs and wonders, all those things, we have that in the name of Jesus. It says it. It says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In Jesus' name. So how do we get there? We have to ask in Jesus' name. We ended a lot of the prayers on the trip in Jesus' name. And yes, we saw instantaneous miracles. Yes, we saw deliverance. Yes, we saw these things. It's not always going to be the case, though. And so this scripture actually can be somewhat controversial for people's faith, where they say that and say, well, I prayed for it. I asked them for it, but it didn't come. I need this, and I asked for it, and he didn't give it to me. This scripture can really mess with someone's faith. But just remember these things, these three things, that we're coming to God in Jesus' name and not ours. What I mean by that is we're coming in Jesus' name asking God the Father for something. We're not coming for us. We're not coming in our own name. Because sometimes when we do that, we're just looking out for ourselves. We're looking out for what's best for, or what we think is best for us. But we need to be coming in Jesus' name. What does Jesus want? What does Jesus desire for us? We must ask according to his character and authority. Man, I could ask Jesus for the rest of my life to, you know, allow me to hit the lottery. But is that his character? Is that what he wants to do for us? But when we ask in his character and his authority, we say it in Jesus' name, and we trust God's will, and we trust God's timing. Because here's the thing. I don't know that, you know, when I prayed for Oscar, I don't know 100% that addiction was gone. I believe it, but man, he could have made a bad decision even walking away from me. I don't know that he reconnected with Mia. I don't know that. But I know and I believe and I trust that God wants that restoration because that's his will. But I also know that it might be in God's timing, that it might not happen right there in that moment. But at some point in time, when God says that the time is now, I'm believing that that's going to happen. I'm believing that because of what the scripture says. The scripture says if we ask in Jesus' name, if we say it in his character and his authority, and we trust God's will and we trust his timing, that it will be given to us. So we just got to remember that. Don't allow that to mess us up when we ask for something and we don't get it. It just might not be the right time. Or maybe we need to think about how did we ask it and ask in a different way. Like, what does God want for us? So listen, hey, I hope today inspired you. I hope it excited you just as much as I have been excited about this trip. But I hope that it moves you forward. I hope that it puts you in a place that, like Aaron said, that there's just a courage and a boldness to speak, whether it's to a coworker, someone that you know, a neighbor, anyone. I pray that it moves you to be able to be bold and to speak in just a mighty way to them. Or, hey, there's mission trips coming up. I pray that this moves you to want to go, whether it's out of the country or whether it's to Buffalo or to Pittsburgh mission trip. Whatever it is, I pray that you've been moved this morning. But also, I pray that if there's anyone here with us that has not put Jesus first in their life, that when we see in John 14 where it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus, if that's you today, today's the day that you can be set free, that you can have that eternal life. So if that's you, I just ask that you would raise your hand, that you want to live this life, that you have power, that you have all the access in the world to God the Father, and then the desires that you have, that you can go to Him, you know, the things that we're dealing with, we can go to Him, right? We have this all access pass to God the Father. So if that's you, I just ask that you would raise your hand. Or maybe you know God, but you fell away. But you need to get back there. You need to get to that point. I ask that you would raise your hand today as well, professing that He is your Lord, that He has forgiven your past, that He's leading your future. I just want to pray with you guys right now. Lord God, I thank you for just this church, Lord God. I thank you for each and every person here today, Lord. Lord, I pray that today would be a day, Lord God, that you would inspire in hearts, Lord God, that we would show love to all people, Lord, that we would surrender ourselves truly in worship to you, Lord God, that we would praise your name the way that you deserve to be praised, Lord. Lord, and I pray that we would release any tension that we have in our life, Lord God. Lord, that yes, it's not going to go away in our life, but Lord, we know and we trust in you that when we release it and we give it to you, that you hold on to it. It doesn't come back. Lord, help us to release it so that we can live a life, Lord God, chasing after you, not worrying about the things that are tied against us, Lord God, but chasing after you, Lord. Lord, I pray that today would be a day that we would want to go out, Lord God, and that we would want to share who you are to other people. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.